the station of the stars. RTI.
The Big E. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Portbred. On a very interesting news week, it's got to be said, where things are starting to open up, as they say, with Pandora's box. My name's Eric Wiltshire. This is the alternative news programme called Postcard from Portbred. That's because I'm sitting in Portbred at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the gloriously sunny east side of Slovakia, where the young ladies are walking around with a tie which I would describe as a thick belt rather than a skirt. Over in the wet and windy UK, it is Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm in the UK, where all the ladies are walking around with their sou'westers on.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. And in Gay Paris, co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, still typing! Stop that!
Oh, sorry. Are we on?
Yes, we're live.
I think he's the wrong type to have on the show.
Wrong type. Yeah, I know. All the font jokes are going to come out of me. It's Mark Gander.
Hello there. Yes, I was just actually typing a message to all our readers to say, welcome to Paris. It's actually stopped raining just for a very short amount of time, but believe me, that it's been chucking it down. Chucking it down. Hi there, everybody. Oh,
do we have many readers?
Yes, we do, actually.
Did I say readers?
Yes, you did.
Hi there, all our listeners.
Right, thank you. Actually, we do have lots of readers who read our schedule on Scribd, bless them.
We do.
We have tens of thousands of them, as it goes.
Millions.
Not millions. Don't go red top on me. It's the beginning of the show.
I can prove it.
It's the beginning of the show. Calm down. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boon, you wonderful folks on RTI, and just about everywhere else we go as well, because I get confused as to where we're all going. It has been a very dramatic 48 hours in the UK, with things like the big bridge in Liverpool being struck by lightning on several occasions, road traffic cones just sailing down the road. Roads down there closed. Metro services closed. The internet dead. And so on and so forth. And unfortunately, we'll hand it over to Lee because he's just down the road. So he's our reporter for a change on the spot. And we've tragically lost a 66-year-old as well, Lee.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's been terrible. I'll tell you now, just to bring you completely up to date with the way the weather is here, I actually spent a few years ago some time at the foot of Mount Etna in Sicily, and the atmosphere and the air is almost the same. It's dark, it's thunderous, it's clammy, it's so hot you're melting. It is ludicrous. But in the last 2 days, the weather has been murderous. It really has been murderous. Half a month's rain fell in just an hour across the Midlands. And 2 miles down the road from where I live, Michael Ellis.
Which month?
Eh?
Was it half a month of August or half a month of November?
Yeah, wait, I would imagine it's a rainy month, March. Sadly, yeah. Michael Ellis, age 66, from Ludlow, in Shropshire, which is just down the road, as I say, got out of his car as it had become trapped by a stream that had swollen, and tried to walk to the safety of hard ground. And he was swept away and found 22 and a half miles away, I think it was, in Winterbourne. It's been horrendous. The press have been saying that there's golf balls the size of, hailstones.
Golf balls the size of hailstones, really.
Right.
But I've seen them. I saw them. When I awoke yesterday morning,
it's got to you, this weather, hasn't it?
It's tragic. It's terrible. Honestly, it's awful. The noise. There was a continuous thunder, a clap of thunder, and it must have gone on for 2 hours. And that's one of the talking points around here. 2 hour continuous clap of thunder and golf ball sized icicles.
Hailstones, dear boy.
It's close enough. It's made out of the same stuff.
He's obviously lost it this week, hasn't he?
I'm not. I'm being articulate and entertaining and dramatic and telling the truth about things. This is what I was put on the earth to do.
Well, the last one, I can assure you, I haven't seen the pictures, you're getting the right. But the first three, I think I'd pass on those.
What?
Articulate? Yes.
Yeah, you can't even say it.
No, I can say articulate, though.
Yeah, get it wrong. Articulate.
Right. Mm. So what's it like now? Is it calming down? Are the rivers going back to normal?
Almighty, ladies and gentlemen, what did I say when I started this item? I will bring you right up to date immediately of how things are. And I said I spent time at the foot of Mount Etna in Sicily.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about... Your internet's working, which it wasn't yesterday.
Oh, that's the most important thing, isn't it? Yeah, my internet. Ladies and gentlemen, was really upset because he couldn't talk to me yesterday because every few minutes my internet crashed. Like Bart was
and what about the roads? How are they now?
The roads are fine. The roads are fine now.
Really?
There were floods on the... Yeah.
But some of the roads were actually swept away.
There are parts of the country, particularly...
They're fine if you can find them. Yes. You've just got to look for them.
Yes.
No, it's cleared up. There are parts of places in down south where the roads are still impassable because of what's happened. Like, you know, roads have been wrecked. I don't think the wrecking of roads is that important. This is actually a minor natural disaster that's hit Britain. Yeah. And
if you start saying this is just simply a minor natural disaster, all the insurance companies that are going to listen are going to use it to deny any kind of liability. So I just wouldn't even want
Mark's
to say
in
that.
One of those modes, I can tell.
I think that's a very good point, actually, ladies and gentlemen.
It is not a natural disaster.
About us, me describing it as a minor natural disaster, and then we will hold it up like I did last week when I apologised to the world for the cock-up I made in Chat Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I will apologise for saying...
You'll make a mess of it again. Right, yes. What, so, hey, Lee, calm down a minute. Can you answer some questions?
No. Go on, then.
Are all the trains running now?
I don't know if all the trains are running. I don't work for British Rail.
But you live there, for goodness sake.
I don't live near every train in the world.
They're all running at the same time now, anyway, are they? I mean,
not all. If they all arrived at the same time, it'd be another natural disaster. They'd all crash.
I think what you mean is it'd be another insured risk, an insurable risk.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I think what he's trying to say, Mark, to tell you the truth, is since it started raining, he hasn't been outside, he hasn't looked at anything, he stayed in his house nice and dry, and so he don't know.
I told you, it's dark, thunderous, clammy, and the heat is belting down on me as if I am under the volcano, written by Shaw Irwin.
Was that another curry last night, then, was it?
No, I didn't. No, I've been here by myself for 4 days. Eric knows that. He's not taking any care of me or looked after me or made sure I was all right. I've been here looking after myself. I've not been eating, Mark. I've not been eating.
All those beer bottles lying around.
Well, that's it. There wasn't much room left. Hey!
Anyway, moving along, boys and girls, we've got a lot to get through this week. Just to bring you up to speed, as they say, the BBC We Say No had a little bit of a stutter this week where it didn't grow very much. But for the last couple of days, it's actually started to rocket again. So if you are interested in trying to save the BBC local radio stations, which... Since we started and up to this point, we are the only organisation trying to help the BBC locals out. Nobody else seems to care. Go to BBC We Say No on Facebook, or just type BBC We Say No and Facebook, and you'll find the page. There's lots of people actually writing on there about how disastrous it is, and it is quite interesting in the same way as we have with The Voice of America, where nobody seems to give a damn barring RTI. Funny that. Anyway, moving along
can
from
I,
there.
Can I just mention on that very quickly?
What?
The BBC thing,
because
it is an important thing, and there are two mayors, we mentioned them before, I can't remember the name, so I'm not going into it now, but they have said that local news is the lifeblood of local councils and local communities.
Mm.
And there are a couple who've joined, and I would just like to say publicly now, anybody who's listening, get in touch with your mayor and tell the mayor of your town or city to join this group. It's not going to, they aren't going to have to do anything.
Good
just
idea.
Join it as a sign of goodwill. And Boris Johnson, we mean you.
Oh, right. He was on another radio station this morning. I heard him. Anyway.
And now he's just a media
No, he was wonderful. He was Boris was just himself as always this morning. Wonderful. I'm very proud of this announcement. I'm so proud you wouldn't believe it. And there is a reason for it, because I wouldn't be sitting in this part of eastern Slovakia talking to the guys in Mark and Lee if it were not for the most amazing group of people in World War II, Bomber Command. A £6 million and worth every penny memorial to the 55,573 airmen who died during World War II has been unveiled by the Queen at a ceremony in London's Green Park. And it's an amazing thing. I watched the flypast, which was equally as stunning, and I'm so proud that they dropped poppies for every officer and member of Bomber Command who died during World War II. And there was some 6,000 veterans and families there to watch the Lancaster bomber fly over, which I just think is absolutely amazing. And there's a lovely quote from Air Chief Marshal Dalton, who said, "Many of those who gave us our freedom and to whom this memorial is dedicated cannot join us physically, but their spirit is certainly here. For their bravery and sacrifice, which helped to give us our freedom, we will never forget them." And
I think that's well said.
Absolutely well said. And trust me, boys and girls, if you ever come to Eastern Europe and hear the stories of what happened during the time of the Nazis, you've only got to say, Bomber Command, we love you to bits wherever you are right now.
And I think it's also worth saying that we generally do say how good and how important and how brave our troops are, but we very often miss out the fact that the flyers were just as brave and just as powerful and influential as the ground troops. And they should be mentioned and marked out as something special. Yes.
Absolutely. The good news is that the RAF Benevolent Fund, which you can contribute to at any time, will take over guardianship of the memorial, which is marvellous. Yeah. And also this week, it's Armed Forces Day Live with a very different thing. And I have to say hats off to a very dear friend of mine called Fred Perkins, who was the founder and CEO of Information TV, which is broadcast on satellite. You can get it on Sky Channel 231 or Freesat 402. They will be covering the Armed Forces Day Live via Information TV. It'll also be on the web as well. And it's a co-programme with British Forces Broadcasting Service, BFBS, who we also have a huge amount of time for. And so the programme will be syndicated on Saturday in the normal Armed Forces Day. I think it's the fourth year they've been doing this. And brilliant thing to do. So it'll be on television on Information TV, Sky Channel 231, Freesat 402, as well as being on BFBS, or all over the UK on digital radio and around the world as well with all the different BFBS outlets. And I just think it's a fantastic thing to do. And it will be coming from Plymouth, as always. Huh. And if you get a chance to have a look, or if you're out, you can always have a look later on the Information TV website, because it will be there to be watched for many days to come. So do enjoy that. Here we go, boys and girls. Are you ready? Time to sit down very carefully. I have one headline. You know the rules here. Banks. Banks.
Yes.
And bankers.
Yeah.
Well, where are we going to start?
Well, we'll start at the top.
What a load of shower of nasty, dishonest, inefficient, incompetent, and it never stops.
Irresponsible was the word you were looking for. You missed.
It's not irresponsible. Irresponsible is a bad word for that. It isn't irresponsible.
Well, I suppose it's being kind to irresponsible.
It is the equivalent to criminal.
Yes, I'll go with that. Newlyweds found they could not access their cash in the NatWest computer glitch.
Well, that's another thing, isn't it? Yeah, and so they turn up on the doorstep and give them £1,000 just to help out. Well, they shouldn't have cocked it up in the first place. No, it's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, this is so far-reaching, this new crisis in the banking system, where Bob Diamond.
No, this has got nothing to do with Bob Diamond.
This is not Bob.
No, this has nothing to do with Bob. It's Nat West.
We get on to Bob Diamond in a minute, West. Mind you. So
Lee, I promise me, we will not miss Bob Diamond. He's coming up. But first of all, I have a couple of questions to ask. Why is it that Nat West don't have a mirror service to put online in seconds?
Well, don't forget, it's only not only NatWest as well, it's the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Yes.
For the people in the United States or anybody else who doesn't know what's going on, we have a complete breakdown of our major, major banks, which, by the way, are pretty well nationalised industries at the moment. I don't know if that's going to do it. Royal Bank of Scotland, which almost created the economic collapse in the United Kingdom on its own. Absolutely disgraceful bank. And it looks as if there was a computer glitch which went on for 7 days and people's funds were completely frozen, unable to pay money, unable to pay wages, unable to get money out. Payments to all sorts of other companies were frozen and not made. Therefore, there were penalties incurred. Therefore, people had their credit files marked with black marks and so forth. And the banks have said, well, or rather the RBS and NatWest said they're going to make it all good. But, of course, they won't make it good. And no. I'm already hearing that, in fact, for instance, the credit files and the people in the States, I'm sure, are well aware of credit scoring. The credit reference agencies have simply said, well, what we will be prepared to do is put a notice of correction. All right. They won't actually efface the whole black mark that goes onto the
file.
Excuse me, gents, though, but yeah. I agree with everything Mark's saying about this. But in fact, what we're actually discussing is basically a computer glitch, which is a different kettle of fish than criminal action. We're talking about a computer glitch.
Lee, calm down. Right, there's a simple solution. If NatWest and RBS had got their IT system right, it should have gone onto a backup system straight away. Even in this tiny office, and we are minuscule compared with the bank, there is a backup system. There are automatic backup drives. There are data protection systems.
Are you saying that they didn't have this?
I'm saying whoever designed this system wants shooting.
I mean, it doesn't appear to have been handled very well.
This kind of backup. And I think what Mark's saying is absolutely true, that they're actually trying to do nothing to put things right beyond, like Mark says, put a note on your account saying it wasn't their fault, really. Mm. In fact, maybe that would be enough in these circumstances.
No, I don't think it would. I don't think it would. People look at that, you get notice of corrections all over the place. Yep. And when you're considering lending money to people, you see that, you start to think, uh-oh, there's something going on here, we're not quite sure what it is, and basically it counts against you.
They might see it this week and know what it's about, but in 5 years' time they won't.
Yeah. But why can't they specifically design something to go on there that makes it clear from...
Well, they could if they wanted.
Because they can't be bothered.
Thank you. Okay?
Because once again, that's the point we should be making.
Exactly.
But I don't think criminal is far wrong. Okay, I mean, I think it almost amounts to a kind of criminal negligence here.
No.
Yeah? Well, I the glitch itself isn't criminal, but the way that you're prepared for it or not prepared for it, and the way that you don't remedy the situation, I think that amounts to a kind of criminal negligence.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I'll share something with you. Because at one time, this building, as Lee knows, because he was in it at the time, was a full-blown 24-hour radio station, music station, blah, blah, blah. And if it went wrong, the worst-case scenario, I could have it back running on a backup system in under 10 minutes from my flat. Yeah. And it's a very, very complex system, that sort of system.
But it doesn't have to be complex, does it? If my silver machine goes, I have a backup machine. The point being,
whatever the size of your company, and it's a relevant point for everybody, you should have a backup system in place. And in our case... We have alternative internet connectivity. We can go from one provider to another. We can go from one system to another. It's very easily switched electronically. And what's more, if it goes wrong, it even sends me a text message to say one of the machines has gone wrong. Now, if I can do that, because I built the system, not clever clogs from a big IT group, I made it myself. If I can do that, why the hell can't NatWest and RBS do it?
Yeah. I agree with you. And I went out and bought a second computer. That's my backup system. But I do feel like I'm working for the BBC at the moment.
No,
well, I do, because we're arguing the point about a computer glitch when we're missing out the important story, which is that the banks have virtually wiped out the world this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're moving on to that.
We're getting there.
Let's have a look at. I mean, there's some bank responsibility and bank negligence and the way that they treat the public and they treat the customers. Now we go on to the next one,
which is a really sad piece of news. This, because I watched this amazing couple, quite an oldish couple, virtually in tears, breaking down because their dream hotel had been taken from them, is now the property of the bank because of signing up to some ludicrous bank system.
Yeah.
And they've lost, and the building is derelict. Yeah, it's not being used, it's not being sold on, nothing's happening to it. A business that was running and employing people is dead.
Yeah.
Because of mis-selling to small firms, Mark.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So what we've got here, once again, is that, I mean, we're still talking all the time about PPI mis-selling. Now, suddenly, we find today announced another mis-selling scandal of people being inveigled and business being inveigled into borrowing money and buying insurance products, which were far too complex and not suitable, and at the end of the day sort of seemed to fizzle into nothingness. And which banks are fingered here? Well, Barclays, HSBC, Lloyds. Oh, well, blow me, RBS again, the ones who create the computer glitch. Oh, yes,
absolutely. Here we go again.
It just never stops. And the FSA, of course, is, you know, well, where is the FSA, this fundamentally supine authority? I don't know what regulatory systems you've got in the United States, you people, but believe me, the FSA here, once again, does absolutely nothing. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'm going to move straight over to the big, big news of the week, and that is that Barclays...
Well, hang on, but Mark, before we get there, there's one important thing I want to say,
and
I really want to say this. This is going to come up, that if you are a small businessman and you are listening and you believe you've had one of these mis-selling situations from the banks, do yourself one favour. Ask for some advice. Please don't go to one of the hundreds of adverts that are on television stations at the moment saying, oh, you've only got to register with us, we'll do everything for you, blah, 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 blah.
And take 25% of your money.
Thank you.
At the least.
That's my point. Whereas you have the right in the UK, not every country in the world, you have the right to go direct through an ombudsman to get your money back. It comes to you. It doesn't go to a third party or somebody who's making pretty adverts on the television. Ask for some advice, go direct, and cut out the middleman this time. Yeah. Now we move on to Bob Diamond.
Right. So, well, I mean, I'm sorry to be sort of taking the stand again, but I mean, you know, this was the amazing news this week, that the Barclays Bank staff have been involved in rigging key lending rates between banks, the LIBOR rate.
Can you explain what that is, Mark?
Well, I understand that it's a rate that's fixed every day about what it's going to cost for each bank to lend to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if these rates are rigged, okay, if there are sort of private little arrangements that today we'll have the rate higher, today we'll have the rate lower, it means then that people in need or traders in trouble then are able to borrow money at a preferential rate and basically save their skins. And in fact, we now find that there are text messages, email messages, basically saying, thanks, mate, you sorted out, I owe you a bottle of Bolly, which is Bollinger for the working class who listen to this. You know, and of course, you know, the result is that although these guys are all right and they're making their profits and they're keeping their jobs, it has an enormous knock-on effect on other people who are maybe paying too much or getting too little if they're saving, and that lot is still to be worked out. This is criminal, incidentally. This is criminal. But of course, the other thing that's been said now, and of course, the FSA, once again, where is the FSA? We don't know. But believe me, once again, they haven't been doing their job, but we now see that Barclays is probably not the only one. Incidentally, they've been fined $290 million, pounds. So we're talking about probably about half a billion dollars. Okay, they've been fined for this, the record fine. And we now find that they're probably part of a whole cartel, because these kind of arrangements can't be done just by one bank. Everybody has to agree it.
Yes.
So we find that all the other banks, and one of the banks that is mainly being fingered at the moment as being investigated is, oh, blow me, it's the RBS again. Just absolutely amazing. And this is criminal. This is criminal. And the boss of Barclays, who apparently is not involved in it, although some people say he must have known.
Well, he does say he's not going to resign over it.
He's an American. He's being pressed to resign. We'll see whether he manages it. Frankly, I think he ought to resign and he ought to be deported.
Well, I think his position is totally...
Yes,
I like your style.
Absolutely. Deported. Get rid of him. He's obviously totally useless. He's not in control of his bank. He doesn't want to take responsibility. I think he's probably just hanging on to keep his visa in this country. Get rid of him.
I think, and send a lesson
to all the other banks, and this is what's going to happen.
Well, I've got to say, Mark, that remember when there was the BT disaster with the oil rig over in the US?
Yeah.
And the CEO of BP was called to task over there, and basically he had no choice. His position was untenable.
Yeah,
he left.
He did.
He had to go.
He did.
And I'm saying the same to Mr. Diamond. I don't think that your position is tenable. No. And the, you know, if you look at, if you're an investor, a shareholder in Barclays, have you seen how much money it's wiped off of your pension money because the share price of Barclays has tumbled?
Yeah. I mean, Bob Diamond says, oh, well, I'll give up my bonus for a year. So he gives up 6 million quid. It means nothing to him, all right? Give him a knighthood and then let's strip it off him. You know, that would be a good start. But, of course, because he's an American, he's not actually allowed to have a knighthood in that way.
Still missing the point.
Go on, then.
We're still
give me the point. We'll get to that
too. We're lambasting Bob Diamond. We're saying what a shock it is that the banks have done this. We've explained in detail how it works. The simple fact we haven't discussed is the effect it will have on the world, on everybody's pocket, on everybody's mortgage, and how many people have suffered. Have lost money because of this, from business people to other banks to people on the streets, people who've taken loans out. How much is this going to cost the banking system to pay back for what it's done? Yeah. And Mark said,
no, but it's not going to hurt them, Lee. The most important people it's going to hurt are it's again the little people. The shareholders of people like Barclays are big groups. Big groups of people in a collective that use banking and various other commodities as a pension plan. And what's
trading it? They're trading it. But I mean, listen, even, you know, in Barclays, okay, Barclays' value has sort of shed 15% or something or other, you know. Quite frankly, it means nothing. Do you know what's happening at the moment? There's a load of people who are trading crazy like now, and they're buying the Barclays shares at 50% off, because I can tell you that, you know, in not so long, it'll go up again, and they will all make, you know, a load of money. What we need is proper regulation, which hasn't happening. And the only good thing about these problems, about this glitch, about this another story of mis-selling, and about this shocking scam that Bob Diamond is ruling over, okay, what is the good thing about it?
I'm just amazed at the attitude we're taking to this. Why? This is the biggest story that has broken for years. This is something which is affecting the whole of the world.
It's brought
into. We're talking about it on a little. Oh, it's going to affect the pensions of these people. And
no,
like
no.
It's,
little
it's,
people.
It's more anyway, important. The whole of the banking system is going to be brought to its knees by this. And we're playing about calling it a glitch.
Oh, no. I was referring to the urgent one. There are three issues.
I'm showing you
all the issues together.
Correct.
Okay, and no doubt there's a load of other stuff waiting for us to find out. The great thing about this is that maybe maybe it will finally, you know, inspire and motivate some proper regulation, because surely nobody now can stand up and say the banks have to have self-regulation. Nobody now can say the banks couldn't do it themselves. They must have lost the argument. And if that comes out of it, then that's a good thing.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.